All right, let's go ahead and we'll say a word of prayer and jump right in this lesson for the night. Dear Yah, we just bless you for just who you are, and we thank you for giving us another opportunity to get into your presence. Right now we seek wisdom and understanding on tonight, and we bless you in advance for it. And we just thank you for all things. In the name of Yehoshua, we do pray. Amen. All righty. We had stopped, I believe, in chapter 2. Am I correct? Chapter 2. We're entering into chapter 3 of the book of Matthew. And we'll just continue to move through the New Testament. Matthew chapter 3 verse 1 says, "In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Now, obviously, you know, we just use, when you look at the cross reference, as far as what was spoken by Isaiah, you can see it here, and you can see references to different things in the scriptures in reference to that. You can see references in the scriptures to each verse, but as you see Isaiah 40 here, we'll pull it up so that you can see it. Isaiah 40 verse 3, to show everything is just in the scriptures, and we don't have to guess when it comes down to these things. It's just all right there before us where we can see it clearly here. But let me get out of the cross reference here. And so, so as we see here, Isaiah 40 verse 3 were spoken of in Matthew 3 verse 3 in reference to the scriptures. So Isaiah 40 verse 3 says, "The voice of him," I just read verse 1. It says, comfort ye my people, saith your God, your Yah. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her, and her welfare, her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received of Yah's hand double for all her sins. And, you know, when you deal with Isaiah 40, it's in reference to things that was going on with our nation, especially when you look at the captivities and things like that, specifically dealing with 2 Kings 17 and then also 2 Kings 24. 2 Kings 17 deals with when the 10 members of our nation, 10 tribal members of our nation, went into captivity in 2 Kings 17. And then 2 Kings 24 is when Jerusalem here, as is mentioning, for as far as their iniquities are concerned. And then it says, verse 3 says, "The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of Yah, make straight in the desert a highway for our God." Okay. And as you can see this here, 3 again says, "For this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Now, as you see this here, verse 2 is saying, in Matthew 3, verse 2, it says, "And saying, Or I go to verse 1. It says, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of our God, the kingdom of Yah is at hand. And so Isaiah prophesied that this would take place in latter time. And it is for us to understand what it says. Verse 3, when you look at Isaiah 40, verse 3, said, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. And see, when you see this here, people will look at Isaiah 40 and verse 3 and say, well, see, it's saying Lord and then it's God. It's talking about Jesus. No, it's not. Because John is preaching the kingdom. John is preaching the kingdom of Yah. And at the same time, when you look at how the scriptures will point out as we deal with Matthew, the book of Matthew, we'll see clearly how, you know, it makes a clear distinction. And so you get people that will reference these and say, well, see, he's making the path straight for our Yah. Yeah, he is. So did Christ. So that's how we have to understand things within this contextual meaning and what Yah intended for us to understand as far as the scriptures are concerned. Our Savior, Jesus Christ, Yehoshua Mashiach, came to make the path straight for our God. That's why he said, you know, I do nothing to myself. I didn't come to abolish the law and the prophets, but I came to fulfill or fully preach or walk the path. So when Isaiah prophesied this, it is always important for us to see the main source or the purpose for which all these things are meant to be understood. It always points to the Father, and the Son is the process by which a lot of things materialize from the perspective of us being redeemed back to our Father God. And so so we don't want to look at these scriptures now and start getting confused and then start saying, well, see, that shows that Christ is God because he's making the path straight for our God. Yeah, he is. Our God, yeah, the Most High. Isaiah's not confused. And so when you see it here, it's in harmony in Matthew chapter 3, and I want that to be, you know, clearly understood from all the other scriptures that we've looked at, and we don't, again, get confused, okay? And so that's what we see where it's written. I even read the rest of Isaiah 40, verse 3 says, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of Yah, make straight in the desert the highway of our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and every hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain, and the glory of Yah shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Okay, the voice said, "Cry," and he said, "What shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all." The goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. I just read verse 7, I guess, and I'll continue to read maybe to verse 9. Verse 7 says, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of Yah bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. Verse 8, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of Yah shall stand forever. O Zion, that bringeth good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain, O Jerusalem, that bringeth good tidings. Lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Okay, and you know, and so I just read verse 10:2 said, behold. Behold, Yah God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. And so, verse 11, as you see, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. he said, gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. I just wanted to read that and just make sure if there was something in there that we need to discuss. Now, Matthew 3, again, we just started verse 1, and we'll continue on. It says, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye. Let me get out of there. Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of Yah, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat, his food, okay, was locusts and wild honey. So that's why it also confirmed Malachi 3. Meat has always been food. It's never been money, okay? Verse 5 says, Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourself, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that Yah is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. You know, because our nation, you know, operated, you know, in pride, and we thought that just because we were Abraham's seed that it put us in right standing with Yah. But the only thing that puts us in right standing with Yah is obedience, okay? Verse 10 said, now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewed down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Okay. Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner. But he will burn up the chaff and then with the unquenchable fire. Then cometh Yehoshua from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and cometh thou to me? And Yehoshua answered and said unto him, suffer it to be so, for thus it is become us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And when you look at him making this statement as far as to fulfill all righteousness, I'm going to show again cross references here so that you will see it here. All righteousness. Then verse 16 said, and Yehoshua, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of Yah descending like a dove and lightning upon him. Okay. And as you see it here, it shows the references to this now. Isaiah 11 and 2 says, the Spirit of Yah shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom, okay, and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of Yah. Okay. And so as you see this here, it also points out and make it clear where the Ruach come from, the Spirit of Yah come from. And so it shows that you know how it has an association with Yah. It extends from Yah, and there is always something that takes place when you see examples of the Spirit of Yah manifesting here in the earth. And so again, when you look at Matthew chapter 3 verse 16, it shows us clearly that the Spirit of Yah is not the third person of the Godhead, or a person, as people have commonly taught as far as the Trinity is concerned. But as you see it here, and I'm just move out of these references, just so that you can, just so we can look at the definition here. When you look at the, it says spirit, it says pneuma, a carrying of air, breath, blast, breeze. By analogy or figuratively, a spirit. Then it starts dealing with the human rational soul, because as we start to point out certain things, we're spirit, soul, and body. And so as we start to look at these different definitions, you see it the same way in the New Testament as it is as far as the Old Testament is concerned. And when you look at it here, it says 41:51. You go here to 41:51 and you put up with it. It says to breathe hard. Breathe, blow. The Spirit is the breath of Yah. I can't say that enough. And so the reason why you hear it has association with wind is because when you look at the wind, the wind, it brings about life. And so when we understand the wind in its purest form, it is the breath of Yah. That's why when he removes, or if the wind is removed, we die. It is the spirit. It is the process by which all things exist. All things are led, and that's why whenever the Spirit of Yah comes up on us, it's like there's a change. We feel like a breath of fresh air. We are enlightened, and that's how we are to understand, what the Spirit is. It's not a person. It's not somebody sitting beside God that y'all say something and the Spirit go move. Okay? And so we have to be able to look at these scriptures and understand the terms in its purest form for in the process by which Yah intended for us to understand, instead of us trying to make it something that the Bible doesn't bag up. Okay? And that's why you see it here. That's why you see it here, verse 16. And Yehoshua, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were open. When the heaven was open, they saw the spirit of Yah descending like a dove and lighting up on him. You hear the voice now. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, who I am well pleased." And when you look at the connection to the Spirit and the voice, Genesis 1, and Yah said, and when Yah said, the Spirit moved. Okay? And the verse, Genesis 1, verse 2, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, abyss, water, and no bottom. Okay, that's why people never found the bottom of the ocean yet. It's not one. There are certain levels to it, but there's no bottom. The face of the deep, the abyss. When you look at the word deep, it means abyss, a surging mass of water. Okay, and so it just shows us that that's how things were created. Dry ground came up from there. When you continue to read, it said, "The Spirit of Yah moved up on the face of the water." When Yah speaks, when Yah deals with things, the Spirit moves. Okay? The Spirit moves. That's why it has such a close connection and association with the wind. And it does that in order for us to understand how the Spirit moves. Not a man sitting beside God waiting on him to go do something. Okay? Same thing as far as Acts chapter 2 is concerned. We've dealt with this plenty of time. When the day of Acts 2 verse 1, right of the screen, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven. Where did it come from? From heaven. a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. When you look at the word wind, what does the word wind say here? Rushing mighty wind. It says respiration, breathe, breath. For you see it? Look. It says, because you have to understand how you get these translators and they try to translate these things, but then they come back right back to the original. Now look, it says 4157. But look, it says it comes from 4151. 4151. What is 4151? Right here. Spirit, Pneuma, 41, I'm sorry, I said 4154. I said 4151. 4154. You see it? It says from 4154. So this is the same, it's the same thing. So the wind is the spirit. They just try to play with the words. Quit playing with the word. Just call it what it is. So when you look at Acts chapter 2, it said when the day of Pentecost was fully come, let me get out of this. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It was the spirit. That's why it says it in the next reverse. It just shows you how it moves. It has the same association, okay? Rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each one of them, and they began to, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Rushing mighty spirit. Okay. Or if you want to, if you want to see the connections to it, verse 16 says, and Yehoshua, when he was baptized, to the right of the screen, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were open unto him, and he saw the wind of Yah descending like a dove and lightning upon him. See, but people like talking about the spirit, but they don't connect here. And that's why Acts chapter 2 calls it the wind. Okay, wind and the spirit, one and the same. So I could call it the wind here. Matter of fact, anytime I read the spirit of Yah, I can call it the wind. Because those definitions come right back together. Acts 2 right here. When it names the wind, it gives this word here, wind. See it? P-N-O-E, wind. Then it says, as you look for it, it deals with different examples as far as the wind is concerned, but it lets you know where that wind comes from, the breath of Yah, the spirit. So that's the reason why I don't make no distinctions. Remove the spirit of Yah out of the earth, everybody die. Okay. Now, and so as we deal with it here, 16 again, and Yehoshua, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were open unto him, and he saw the spirit of Yah, the wind of Yah, descending like a dove. It's a trip when people say, when you put the wind in there, right? But people talk about it in Acts chapter 2 all day long. They say, well, the rushing mighty wind. Well, it tells you a few verses down what that rushing mighty wind was. Well, this here says the spirit of Yah descended like a dove. Well, I'm just telling you what the spirit of Yah is. It is the wind that descended like a dove. Verse 17, and the voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Go to the next chapter now. It said, then was Yehoshua led of the spirit. What? When? Pneuma. Okay. Led up of the spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. See, we got to understand something. A lot of times we blaming stuff on the devil. It's the spirit of Yah leading us into some stuff. That's why I don't even acknowledge the devil. Who's afraid of the devil? It amazes me how many Christians be talking about, man, you got to be careful what you said, man. You can't let the devil hear everything. I tell him everything. He can't stop nothing. I don't give him credit for nothing. Whenever bad things happen to me, I start looking for y'all in the bad things. Because I know the spirit can lead me in the good things, or the spirit can lead me to be tempted. I don't give the devil credit for nothing. Learn how to look for Yah in everything that happens in your life, whether good or bad. I guarantee you'll find him. Here we are claiming to be the children of Yah, and we give the devil credit for running our lives. That's insane. Verse 2 says, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungry. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God. Why the tempter? Ain't the tempter? The tempter is the devil. Don't the tempter know if Jesus is God instead of the Son? Why did the tempter say, if you be God? But the tempter know who Christ is. It's amazing the devil know who he is, and most church folks don't. Church folks believe he God. The devil even know he ain't God. Verse 3, and when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of Yah. Let's take the Son of out. Because that's what Christians do. If thou be God. As a matter of fact, I'm going to play with that for a minute. Just to show you how messed up the doctrine is. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeded out of my mouth. Sound weird, don't it? I'm going to stay with him, then I'm going to go back and teach it right. Verse 5 says, then the devil taking him up into a holy city and sitteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and said, if thou be God, cast thyself down, for it is written, God shall give his angels charge. Why do angels have to be charged over God? If he's God, then that make angels greater than God. If they gotta be charged over God. It's unraveling, ain't it? Or isn't it for you proper folks? Now, verse, I'm gonna come back and teach it right now. Yehoshua said unto him, it is written, thou shalt not tempt me. That's if he was God. That's how he should have been talking. But the devil know he's not God, and he knows he's not God. The devil know he's the Son of God, and Yehoshua, Jesus Christ, knows that he's the Son of God. Now, he just wish folks that living for him, they claim, would realize the same thing. Now, let's teach it right now. Verse 1 says, then was Yehoshua led up of the spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards and hungry. And when the tempter came to him, the tempter is the devil. Okay? He said, if thou be the Son of Yah, command that these stones be made bread. And he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeded out of the mouth of Yah. Verse 5. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and sitteth him on the pinnacle of the temple and said, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Now, let's look at this. He said, it is written. It is written. Where is it written? Where is it written? Psalms 91. Now, we're going to pull up another Bible here. Psalms 91. Remember, Satan is talking scripture now. Now let's see if the boy understands the scriptures. Now, I'm going to exit out of the cross reference here. I'm just doing this here just to show y'all the connections, making it easy instead of working hard to do it by memorizing it myself. For having to think on it. I haven't memorized, just having to think on it. Now, Psalms 91, well, Matthew 4 to right of the screen, verse 6. It says, and saith unto him, if thou be the son of Yah, cast thyself down, for it is written. Anytime you see for it is written, it lets us know what is in the Old Testament. Always pay attention to that. Yahshua, behave. For it is written. So since we know it's written, we go right over here and see it. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Okay. Satan is quoting Psalm 91 at Yahushua. Trying to deceive him into making a mistake because the scripture says it. Y'all got to hear what I just said. You'd be surprised how many people go find them a scripture and stand on it, and it ain't in the proper it's not in the proper perspective of standing up on it. That's why the scripture says that people ask and they have not because they ask amiss. Amiss means for the wrong reason. It can be in the book, but you may have a wrong motive. What Satan quoted to Christ was in the book, but the motive was wrong. And Christ in his wisdom responded based upon the wrong motive. Y'all hear what I just said? So it's vitally important for us to understand something, you know, to understand this fact. Don't go cherry pick scriptures and try to put them on the refrigerator and think that's going to apply to your life. And then there's some amiss or there's some tempting going on because we're trying to get that scripture to line up to our life, but yet we're not lining up to the scripture. So when he quotes what's written, look what our Savior quotes. Verse 7. I exit out of Psalms now since we know where it is. Verse 7. Yehoshua said unto him, it is written again. You talking scripture, but let me talk scripture. It's written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Why did he say that? You get folks taking up serpents in churches. You got some churches that do that. Doing all this stuff because the scripture said you'd take up serpents. So you get people that are doing all these things because the scripture said, but they ain't looking at other things that's written in the scriptures to show the balance that certain things should be done. Christ was saying, I don't have no business jumping off a cliff just because the scripture said if I jump off a cliff, angels will bear me up. That's talking about if circumstances happen to the point to where there is a need be for me to be buried up, then I will. I'm not going to just jump out there and do something. Jump out in front of the truck because I know the law will help me. Lord always deliver me. I'm going to just jump out in front of this 18-wheeler. Then guess what?
See, it's never been taught like that. The reason.
Yes. Anything that we do, even we standing on scriptures, anything that we do that's not in harmony with the kingdom of Yah, it is tempting Yah, and we have no guarantees. Now we understand why a lot of prayers don't get answered, because people are asking tempting Yah. Yah, like, please. Ooh, Lord, I saw it. I'm going to say it. I saw it. Yeah, you dropped it down. I got to spit it out. You know, I can't hold water. Once I see something, I got to say it. Lord, if I just had $1 million, I'd bless the church. Put one of that $10 in there first. You got $10, put one of them in there first. Because y'all said, you're tempting me if you're talking about doing it with a million and you won't do it with the 10. But we can learn something. We stay in this book, right? You know, here we ask y'all for all these different things, and y'all sit up and saying, you quit tempting me. I said, do this. Over here. Christ responds with an answer. So let's use where this Bible app is. It allows it. We're going to use it. I'm going to call it cheat sheet. Where is it written? Deuteronomy 6, verse 16. Romans 6, verse 16 says, ye shall not tempt the Lord your God as ye tempt him in Massa. So these things are important. You want to understand? Let's just do it again. Cross-reference as far as Massa is concerned. I'm lazy today. Exodus 3. You see it? I'm gonna click on it and just take us there. Exodus 12, verse 38 says, wait a minute, let me go back up and see. Let me just get out of the cross references so you can see it. We'll start at verse 37. I'm going to get out of this one here too. Exodus 12 verse 37 said, and the children of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Succoth, about 600,000 on foot, that were men beside children. There's a lot of us. And a mixed multitude went up also with them, and flocks and herds, even very much cattle. And they baked unleavened cakes of the dough which they brought forth out of Egypt, for it was not leavened, because they were thrust out of Egypt and could not tarry, neither had they prepared themselves any victuals. You know, when our nation came out after that plague, when Pharaoh, you know, the firstborn died, they kicked us out. Like, get out of here. It wasn't like they were saying, well, okay, you know, we're going to have a parade. No, they were like, get out. They put us out at night. Okay. Verse 40 said, now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt, let us know that Egypt was one of the places. That's why people get mixed up when they look at the 430 years. The sojourning started when our father Abraham went into Canaan. That's when Israel's sojourning took place. When you do his age and bring it all the way up to this time frame, we've done it before, it ends up being 430 years exactly. So it's not talking about the 400 years of Genesis 15, verse 13, when he was talking to Abraham. Okay? It's another time frame. Now, it says, now the sojourn of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that all the host of Yah went out of Egypt, went out from the land of Egypt. It was night. It is a night to be much observed unto Yah for bringing them out from the land of Egypt. This is the night of Yah to be observed of all the children of Israel in their generation. Passover. This is Passover. That's why we observe Passover, or the Christians, Easter. Okay? That's why it starts at dusk. Okay? Night. Beginning of night. Passover. That's why verse 33 says, and the Lord said unto Moses and Aaron, this is the ordinance of the Passover. Okay? And so as we deal with it here, let me go over here, because I can't remember where that verse started. I went down so far. I said Deuteronomy 6, 16. Exodus 17. I don't know why I get Exodus 12. That was good, though. Exodus 17, I kept saying, wait a minute, where is that? Exodus 17, verse 2. Because we wanted to discuss here this massa when they rebel, okay? Now, Exodus 17, verse 2, and then we'll look at verse 7. Now, I just thought that was 12 for some reason, I guess, when I saw that 2 there. Now, Exodus 17, we just started verse 1. Said all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin. After their journeys, according to the commandment of Yah, they pitched in Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. There it is. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses. Look at the word chide. Toss. Complain. See it? Contend, plead. So the people complained with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, why complain ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt Yah? Why was they tempting Yah? When you look at, I'm going to go back to Matthew. And we'll see it. Is there anything wrong with you thirsty? Letting them know. Let Moses know. Now there's nothing wrong with saying I'm thirsty. But the God of our nation who brought us out of Egypt and provided for us all that time, we got out there knowing that he was our provider, and we start complaining because we started to doubt, and that doubt and insecurities, all those that's going with the fact that we out here and we don't see no water is what made it tempt Yah. You think he can bring you out of Egypt and he can't give you no water? That's tempting. When we trust him in something, when we trust him to do something big, the little smallest thing, you can't trust him no more. That's tempting. We got to trust Yah everywhere. Ooh, Yah, I can trust you to put some gas in my car, but I can't trust you. When it comes down to my help, I got to do everything I can to protect me. Now, there's nothing wrong with being wise and doing everything that we can to protect ourselves. But when you think your actions are what protects you, you're tempted. I gotta do this because I gotta make sure, you know, I gotta look out for me, Yasin. Who you think? You just said I gotta look out for me. Who you think gave you the breath to do it? So we have to be wise now. We can't start making decisions based upon what we think is best for us when we have the God who created all things and have gotten us to this point that made decisions on what was best for us. You know, we just had a lot of things that happened to loved ones. You know, loved ones here recently, as far as the COVID is concerned, had one loved one even die from it. But at the same time, now we can't operate in fear. Because now when we operate in fear, you saying I can trust God over him, but I can't trust God right there. And y'all said that's tempting. We don't look at it that way. But anytime we complain about something or we operate in a mindset that is different from what we know the word says, that's temptation. Y'all says double-minded. Let that person think. That person should understand that they will never get anything from me. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. I can trust you here, but I can't trust you there. Y'all said, you tempted me. And guess what's going to be your destruction? That's what you can't trust me in. If you're scared of COVID, it's going to get you. Remember, we're still stuck on verse 1 in Matthew 4. So, Job, all of you are Job now. So Job, the very thing you fear the most is going to come up on you. If you think your safety is in your decision making, then you're here for a rude awakening. So as you look at Exodus chapter 17, Moses said, wherefore do you tempt Yah? And the people thirst there for water, verse 3. And the people murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? And Moses cried unto Yah, saying, what shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me. And Yah said unto Moses, go on before the people and take with thee of the elders of Israel thy rod therewith thou smotest the river. Take it in thine hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee and upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there come out water out of it, and the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because the chiding and the complaining of the children of Israel, and because they tempted Yah, saying, the Lord among us or not. How many people base God being in their life based upon the actions that he does? Y'all ain't got to do nothing else for me no more. He's still God. He's still God. Lose everything I got. He's still God. I can die. He's still God. He can take me today. He's still God. I am fully persuaded that my God is well able to do everything that he says. In everything that he ever will say. All right. So as we see the connections to the scriptures now, Christ answered him and said it, and we see it is written in Deuteronomy 16:6. Verse 7 says, Yehoshua said unto him, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil taketh him up into the exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And said unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then Yehoshua said unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Now, why did Christ then say, worship me, if he was God? Because Christ know who his God and Father is. So he says, it's written. So when you look at it as far as it's written here, it's written in our law. Okay. Verse 10, run the cross reference again. Deuteronomy 6, thou shalt fear Yah thy God and serve him and shall swear by his name. Deuteronomy 6 and 10. Deuteronomy 10 and 20, thou shalt fear the Lord. Let me bring it up a little bit. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, him shalt thou serve, and to him shalt thou cleave and swear by his name. Joshua 24:14. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. Our Savior Christ served that same God as his son. And we want to follow his example. Is express image of the Father to show us the way, the proper way to live before our Father. Christ is that example. Make sure you mute your phones. Verse 11 says, then the keep up time 19 says, then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Okay. What we'll do, we'll stop there for the second time, since I got started late. I'm gonna go ahead and stop right here, verse 11. So we'll start at verse 12 on next week. Okay, Matthew 4, verse 12. All right? Any questions, comments? We good? All right. Father, y'all, we just bless you for bringing us into another facet of understanding. Thank you for giving us the wisdom to see things in how you intended, and to understand just different ways that we may be tempting you. And we just bless you for that. And we thank you for all things. In the name of Yahushua, we do pray. Amen.